Numbers 8, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof was beaten work. According unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses, so he made the candlestick. Now, Numbers chapter 7, you remember, we covered this before I took off, dealt with the subject of giving. The second to the longest chapter in the Bible, and it deals with the subject of giving. And in particular, the presentation of gifts, tribe by tribe, what they gave as unto the Lord. Chapter 8 deals with the ordination of the Levites, those who would serve practically within the tabernacle. But very interestingly, in between these themes, we find a little section that deals with the golden lampstand. Now, what does the lampstand have to do with gifts or with ministry? I don't think there's anything in the Bible that's there by chance. I don't think there's anything in the Bible that's placed particularly where it is by chance. And I believe that the Holy Spirit deliberately and strategically sandwiched this subject of the lampstand between the subject of giving and serving. Because it's essential to see that whatever we give to God, which was the subject matter of chapter 7, and whatever we do for God, which is the subject matter of chapter 8, it needs to be exposed to the light of God. It needs to be exposed to God, and the Bible says God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all, and to his word, which is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The entrance of his word brings light and gives understanding to this, to the simple. And here's the point, guys. The image of the golden lampstand addresses the subject of motivation. Why we are giving and why we are doing must be subject to the searchlight of the Holy Spirit and the word of God. Jesus gave very important instruction on the subject of giving. Put your finger there in Numbers 8 and go way right in the Bible to Matthew 6, verse 1. Why don't you do that? Matthew 6, verse 1. And here in the Sermon on the Mount, which has been aptly called the Manifesto of the Kingdom of God, Jesus is instructing the citizen of the kingdom on how to live in the kingdom. And in particular, he's talking about issues of giving here. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now, one commentator said that when the Pharisees would give, they would blow a small trumpet that was tied around their waist. And the original purpose of the trumpet was to call the poor to them so that they could have people to give to. But they had turned the trumpet blowing for people to look at them. Rather than calling the poor to themselves so that they might bless them and minister to them, they were calling the attention of those around. And it was basically they're saying, look at what I'm doing. Look at what I'm giving. You know, in our vernacular, we have, you know, he's blowing his own trumpet. He's playing his own tune. Jesus says, let your giving be done not to be seen of men. Surely some of our giving is seen. But the point is don't give it, don't do it in a way to be seen. Okay? Now, Jesus also took time to consider how people gave. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41, turn there really quickly. Mark 12, 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Now it's going to come to this widow who gave the last of her very substance to the Lord. But what I want us to see is this. And Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how. The word saw means to be a spectator and to look at closely. Jesus did not look closely. The object of him being a spectator was not to see the amounts, but rather he was a spectator and watched closely to see how they gave. You see, the attitude and the motive in giving is crucial. Is your giving done in a way that's humble? Is it coming from a pure heart, a pure motive? Is it sacrificial? See, Jesus wants to see how we give. It's not what that is the bottom line, because he's going to look at this woman who just gave a pittance and say, she gave the most because of the way she gave. Would you write this in the margins of your Bible? This is a really radical verse. I think we're going to be doing a little series on the subject of stewardship coming up when we finish the book of Revelation. And I've been reading, and this one guy made an amazingly, kind of deer caught in the headlight statement about the subject of giving. And he made a reference to this verse. I'd heard this grace verse so many times. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Guys, it just became obvious to me. Real giving occurs when it costs you to make somebody rich. It's not real giving when it doesn't cost you anything. You're giving, but it's not the kind of giving that marks the heart of God. For you know what grace looks like, Paul said, because Jesus, who was rich, living in his expressed manifest glory in heaven, divested himself of all of his right to express his glory and came and lived. This is radical. When did he come? The first century. Where did he come? Not Malibu. Not Beverly Hills. Bethlehem was born where they kept the animals, and his first bed was a trough that they from which these animals ate. From glory to a trough. And then he lived in Nazareth, a place of such low reputation. One guy said, when he heard of Jesus, he said, you got to see this Jesus. It's this Jesus of Nazareth. And the guy said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It had the worst reputation of Israel. And I can guarantee you the living conditions there were no better than the favela that we saw, the slum that we saw in São Vicente. He did all of that so we might become heirs. Joint heirs with him. Guys, giving, it should be humble. It should be pure. It should be sacrificial. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful, literally a hilarious giver. You see, if you're giving grudgingly, then don't give. The Lord loves us to give, not because he's broke, but because he wants us to look like him. He wants us to give hilariously. He wants us to give spontaneously. He wants us to give sacrificially. And then when it comes to the issue of serving, what is it that motivates us to serve? Because we can find ourselves serving the Lord for all sorts of motivations. We can do it because we have this need to be approved of man or for someone to pat us on the back and say, attaboy. We can do it to satisfy within ourselves something that wants to feel needed, something that wants to feel that, wow, I was used for something. Paul said that there's only one true motivation for service. 2 Corinthians 5:14, I read from the New Living Translation, Paul says, whatever we do, it's because Christ's love controls us. And then in verse 15, he says, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ who died and was raised for them. That is the one motivation, the only motivation. Paul's saying that he was so in love with Jesus that all he wanted to do was serve him. And you see, we need the light of Scripture to search out our hearts when it comes to the issue of giving. Are we giving humbly? Are we giving it? Is it something pure? Are we giving in a way that's sacrificial? But we also need the light of God's Word to shine into our hearts to say, why are you doing it anyway in your service? And we need to be careful. And man, I want to exhort you guys in this. I want to exhort you so clearly, because I'll tell you what'll make this the most miserable thing you could ever do in attending this fellowship. We need to be careful that we're never serving out of pressure or out of some self-serving motivation. We need to be careful that the only thing that's moving us is our love for Jesus. Now, we might think, oh, I'm just doing this for the Lord. Look, I know a lot of you guys have kids, and I know there's a lot of kids that are here. As a parent, something doesn't sound right when suddenly my kids are begging, can I help bring in the groceries? Something's wrong. Especially when they're looking through the bags to see which one they're going to carry. If there's something chocolate, Nathan's looking for that bag. I'll help you carry it in, Dad. Or just that they want to go to the grocery store. Can I go with you? And the whole time, they're waiting to get to the sweets or to the whatever aisle that they want. But you see, they're really not serving me. They're serving themselves. But we fall into the same thing. And we can actually talk ourselves into thinking that we're serving God, but in reality, we're serving ourselves. I want to tell you right now, guys, the one thing that'll suck the life out of this fellowship is a self-serving agenda. I think the most ugliest thing on the face of planet Earth is church that looks like politics. Because the Bible says this, where there is selfish ambition and strife, there is confusion and every kind of evil work. You know what tears churches apart? It's very rarely heresy, because that's just so obvious. It's when the church just learns to operate in a mode of self-serving political infighting and self-serving agendas. And I'll tell you what, if it even smells like it, we'll quit. We'll quit. Because it is such an embarrassment to the Lord when Christians act like the people you see on TV that are politicians, all of them trying to do their own thing. And in order to get their position, in order to get this, they're glad to tear anybody else apart. Motive is so so important. So what do you do? What are you going to do if you're serving the Lord and suddenly you just find that it's like one day you're in the scriptures and the light of God's word comes in and you're undone. He just strips you naked and he's going, you're just doing this for you. What do you do? Well, here's what you need to do. Jesus addressed a church in Ephesus, the end of the first century. And he says, I see all the machinery, man. You guys work. You're hard working. But I have this against you. You've left your first love. What's needed is to return to our first love. You know, one of the things that I found so precious was we were having our kind of final meal together, the Bible college team and our team, and I deliberately asked John to have the four Brazilian guys that were sponsoring to hang out at the table with me at dinner time. And I said, so let's just say today you've graduated from Bible college and tomorrow you can do whatever you want for Jesus. It's like whatever's in your heart to do it, what would you do? And they felt really uncomfortable with the question. Because they didn't even want to begin to say, I want to. Or I would like. And I said, no. God can put a desire in your heart. What's in your heart? And I looked to the guy on my left, Roberto. And he didn't speak English well, but he was really trying. And fortunately, John and this other American guy that's pastoring there in Curitiba were across the table. And they were really, really helping us get through it. And he says, you know, I just want to serve. And if you watch this guy while we were there, that's all he did. That's the guy when Scott started to cry. Whatever anybody needed, he just did it. And then we got to Shawinji, and he's the guy that just wants to do evangelism through this hip-hop ministry thing that he's a part of. And he doesn't speak good English, too, but he was just saying, man, I just want to do evangelism. I want to get out and with people and just tell them about Jesus. And then Roberto goes, you know, I have two licenses, and I can drive big trucks and buses, and I'll drive the bus for him. I'll drive his ministry team wherever they want to go, and I'll make all the arrangements for him. And then Vinny, he just wants to serve the Lord with his music, and I said, I don't even need to ask you. I know what you want. And all we got to do is get you here to hang out with Danny for a while. You'll do just great. And then I looked at Diego. Diego speaks English pretty well. And he said, I just want to plant churches. And I want to make disciples. And he's saying this, and tears just are rolling down his face. They just love Jesus. That's all. They didn't know church, guys. They don't know this stuff. They don't know, you know, people rolling up their sleeves and doing the political church trashing, destroy the work of God thing. All they knew was that they got saved when this Korean guy showed up in Curitiba. And all they wanted to do was go learn about the Bible. And it's been very hard for them. It has been hard work for them. And you look at these four guys, and all they want to do is just live for the one that loved them and died for them. And I'm just thinking, oh, Lord, don't ever let it get dirty. Don't ever let it get there. And the reason this lampstand is stuck between the subject of giving and the subject of serving is that when the dark stuff of our heart, and we got lots of it, guys, don't you ever think that there's no dark recesses in your heart. You're saved and you're going to heaven because God has made you right in his sight through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. You have been justified. You are positionally righteous before the sight of a holy God. The righteousness of his son has been imputed to you, but you still have stuff in your life that needs to be conformed to the image of Christ. And when the dark stuff of who we are starts to come out of our lives, we need to go to the light of the Word. And we need to sit before the Holy Spirit and let Him search us out. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and keep me in the way everlasting." When you start seeing selfish stuff show up in what you're doing for the Lord or in what you're giving for the Lord, then it's time for you to get on your knees and worship the Lord. Because He loved a selfish wretch like you and me. Worship Him, read of Him, talk with Him, and let Him change your heart. I'd like John Luke and the guys to come up, and we're just going to close here. I don't want to finish the chapter. I want us to just settle here and just let the Holy Spirit just water this stuff in our hearts as we just spend some moments in His presence. Whatever's on your heart, man. And by the way, if you want to pray for this fellowship, the stuff that you wrote down in your notes tonight, pray it. You pray for your pastor's heart that they'll never be Richard's agenda. You pray that for him as a man, as a husband, as a dad, and as a pastor. You pray for this fellowship. You pray for the people that are in leadership. You pray for one another that we'll never get caught in that ugly pit of people wanting to do their own thing. Because you know what? You'll tear one another to pieces unless it's for Jesus. That's how bad selfish ambition is.
Sing it to Him. Say, "Holiness, holiness is what You want for me. Is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need." Faithfulness, faithfulness is what You want from me. Oh, take my heart and form it. Take my mind and form it. Take my will,
take my. It's our prayer tonight that we be broken before You, Lord Jesus. Sing it to Him. It's brokenness.
Brokenness, brokenness is what I long for, Jesus.
Brokenness is what I need to be broken before You, God. We sing faithfulness again.
Lord, faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need to be faithful to You, God. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what You want.
Take my heart,
oh, take my heart and form it.
Take my mind,
take my mind, transform it.
to yours. Take my heart, take my mind, Lord. Tonight, Lord, that you change our hearts and transform our minds, and Lord, that you, our will be yours, Lord, that we would do what is on your heart, Lord, on your agenda, Jesus. Not our will be done, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord Jesus. With all of our hearts, we pray that tonight, Lord. So stand and sing it to him. Clothed in majesty, and all the earth rejoices. All the earth rejoices. He wraps himself in light. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide. Rage, he stands. Age to age, he stands. Time is in his hands. Time is in his hand. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. He's the God, three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. Tonight's a name of all names.
We're so glad that you showed us a bit more of your greatness tonight, Lord. Lord, may we go from this place with all that you want. With all that would please you worked into each of our hearts and lives. Lord, give everyone here a safe journey home. And Lord, if there's one person tonight, Lord, who is even thinking about getting in a car to go home and doesn't know you, I pray, Lord, that you would stop them dead in their tracks. And they would just turn to somebody near them and say, you know what, I can't go home without asking this Jesus to come into my life, without asking him to forgive my sins, without having him step into my life and make me a new creature. You can do that, Lord.
Yes.
You can do that, and we trust you to do that, Lord. Again, thanks for letting John Luke be here, Lord. Give him traveling mercies home as he flies home tomorrow, and Lord, bring Danny back up north safely and give him traveling mercies, Lord, along the way. And go before us, Lord, as a fellowship and as individuals in your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great weekend. The Lord, see you Sunday. Remember, next Monday night, bring a friend for Heather Mercer.